We begin the current daf, Masechtas Makos, daf Tes Zayin. We begin 4 lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the discussion of the previous daf, which was introduced to Machlekes Reish Lakish and Yechonin because it related to Rav Yechonin's teaching regarding a lav shekodmei asei. Although we had mentioned a lav anitikla asei, Rav Yechonin, in disagreement with Reish Lakish, held that if the asei is possible to fill before the negative prohibition, that's not considered a lav anitikla asei to exempt from the punishment of lashes. But that became related to a machlekes that they had regarding a halacha, which was then related to another similar machlekes they had regarding someone that swore that he's going to eat this loaf of bread today. So they both agreed, Rabbi Yechon and Shlokish, that the person is not going to get lashes. However, the machlekes was regarding why are they exempt. Rabbi Yechon said because it's a lav shein b'maisa, it's a passive violation. A lav shein b'maisa, there's no lashes. But from the fact that it's a doubtful astra, because you can't warn them, oh, you said you can eat. Said, yeah, I might eat next second. It's no action being done. It's a passive thing. So it could always be fulfilled. Reish Lakish said, no, the reason why the person does not get lashes is because it's a hasra suffik. It's not a definite hasra, and hasra suffik is not considered hasra. But regarding lav shein b'maisa, he holds that you do get lashes. Says the Gemara, v'tarvei alib de Rehuda. And both Rabbi Yechon and Reish Lakish are coming from the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who he says, as we're going to shortly see, regarding the halacha of Neiser, when someone leaves a carbon over where he's supposed to eat it before a certain time, that's a violation. You're not supposed to leave it over that point in time. On that, we're going to see Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Torah had to say a positive commandment to uproot, to rectify that violation, to tell you that you don't get lashes, even though that case of Neiser is both a hasra safek, because you can't warn the guy, say, hey, you have to eat it. So, I might eat it. You don't see the person actively doing something. So therefore, it's hasra savik. And it's also lav shein b'maisa. So Rabbi Yechonin is medayik from Rabbi Yehuda that obviously, hasra savik is shema hasra. You see that without the nitik lase, without the positive commandment of to burn the nicer, that you would get lashes. But how? It's a doubtful hasra. Oh, you see that's hasra. Whereas Reish Lakish is medayik from Yehuda's halacha, that obviously, even though it's a lav shein b'maisa, it's a passive violation. It's just when the time runs out, then there's a violation, that you get lashes. Which the Gemara later is going to ask, according to both, you can be medayik both points. So how is it that both of them exclusively hold, not like the other one, that the Gemara is going to address? But the Gemara says that both of them are coming from Yehuda's halacha, like we learned in the Braisa. The Pasuk says in Shemais, V'lei sasir m'men ad b'ikah, don't leave over from the carbon's meat until the morning. And whoever does violate this negative prohibition leaves over to the morning, etc. The pasuk says, so then you have the positive commandment to burn that leftover meat in the fire. Says the opinion, the Torah is coming to tell you, to give you a positive commandment, which is coming after you violate the negative prohibition. To tell you that you don't get lashes on it, that's the Rabbi Yehuda, which that's what's called in lav nidzik lase. It says the Gemara, Rabbi Yechonin Dai Kachi. Rabbi Yechonin makes the following inference. Time in the Ba'akasib, the reason why he's exempt from lashes is because the Torah is coming to be monotic with the assay. Haloi Ba'akasib, like if there was no positive commandment of burning it in the fire, you would get lashes. Am Astra Asavik, Shema Astra. You see that even though it's a doubtful Astra, how could you warn the guy? Every second he could say, yeah, well, maybe I'm going to burn it the next moment. You don't know for sure. An action you see is about to do it, and you're wondering, hey, don't do it, and he does it. That's a definite Astra. So you see, Hasra Safik Shemasra. Reish Lakish Da'akachi, Reish Lakish makes a different diyuk. He says, time of the Ba'akasav, the reason why the person does not get lashes is because the Torah comes with Nasei that's Menatikit. Haloi Ba'akasav Leike, if not for that, you would get lashes. Amalav Shein B'maisa, Leike in love. You see that even though it's a passive violation, there's lashes. So that supports either one of their opinions. But the Gemara asked, like we alluded to before, but Reb Shimon ben Lakish, Nami Havadi Hasra Safiku, but yeah, okay, fine, even if you want to prove your point of lav shein b'maisa, but most definitely this violation of leaving meat over the time is, you could also make the same diyuk that a hasra safek is shema hasra, because like Rabbi Yechonin's point is correct, it is a doubtful hasra, you don't know for sure any moment, and then you're warning him that this is the moment because he might go and burn it the next moment. Says the Gemara, Savala ki idach tan Rabbi Yehuda. Regarding that halacha, he holds like a different tana in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that hasra safek is not considered hasra. So though, yes, in this halacha, you could prove like Rabbi Yechonin, but he's coming from Yehuda, and he makes the diik of lav shein b'maisa. Regards hasra safek, he holds like a different town in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that's not considered hasra. The town like Luna Brysom, regarding a case of someone who divorces his wife, and then his wife goes immediately and remarries someone else, and has a child. Now, since she didn't wait the appropriate 3 months, we're in doubt now. This child is born. Is it 9 months from the first husband? Or is it she was only married to this other guy 8 months? Is it 7 months? Because a child can be born in Talmudic times either in 7 months or 9 months. 7 months from the second guy. So we don't know who is the father of this child. Says the Braisa, Hikazeh v'chaza v'hikazeh. Let's say this child hits this father and then hits the other father with two different situations, two different warnings. Now, each one of those is Hasra Safek. When you warn him, hey, don't hit him, he's your father, you don't know, he might not be his father. Or Kilzeh v'chaza v'kilzeh, he curses him, which both of these are punishments to do to a father. He curses this one and then he curses that one. Or Hikashneim v'vasacha, so let's say he hits both of them at the same time. Like Kilosh name of Asaf, so he curses both of them at the same time with the same warning, which is B'teich Kedei Dib in the time frame of having something be considered in one moment, which when he's being warned, it's Asra Asvadi, it's a definite Asra, because Maman of Shach, either way you look at it, one of them is his father. No, hey, don't hit your father, and in that time span he hits both of them, of Teich Kedei Dib, which are 2-3 seconds, so that's a definite Asra. Either one of these cases, the Tanakama holds Chayiv. He's going to be liable, even though it's Asra Safik, and for sure in the case when it's Asra Zvad. Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Bavas Achas Chayib, only if it was done in the same time, then he's liable, okay, then it's a definite Asra. Bezach Azeb, when he does one, and then he hits the other one, which that Asra Safik, each one when he's being warned, you don't know, it might not be my father, then Pati's exempt. It's that opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that Rish Lakish goes like, who says Asra Safik is Loish Mi Asra. Now the Gemara asks the same questioning on Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Nami, most definitely, you have Rish Lakish's point here also. Even though it's a nicer as a negative prohibition that there's no action with it, still you see that the person's getting lashes. So if it wasn't minutik laasei, as Rabbi Yehuda points out, so although you're proving the hasra slavik shema hasra, but you should then also prove the point of lav shein b'maisa's liking love, where Rabbi Yochanan was quoted and explained the halacha of shvur shaych l'kigazeh ayem, and he doesn't eat it, that he's exempt because a lav shein b'maisa, he says, it's not liking love. Says the Gemara, similar to the answer we gave for Rish Lakish, savala ki hada amra v'ide bar oven amra v'amram amra yitzchok amra b'yechanan. He goes like a different opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda ayem b'shem Rabbi Yisai glili, call loisa seshe b'teira, any negative prohibition in the Torah, lav sheyesh b'maisa loikin lav. If it's a negative prohibition that's violated actively, then there's lashes. Lav sheyesh b'maisa ain't loikin lav. If you're violating a negative Torah prohibition passively, then there's no lashes. So we see a teaching of Rabbi Yehuda that says lav sheyesh b'maisa is ain't loikin lav. Now chutz, but the Braisa says, except min ha-nishba, for someone that takes an oath, Umeimer and someone that does what's called tamura, which he tries to swap the sanctity of a carbon onto another animal, which is a Torah prohibition. Famekalas chaver b'shem, and someone curses his friend with the name of a kaddish baruch hu, which the reason for all these halachas are explained in the first parak in Masechet is tamura. Now Rashi just addresses, says if someone's going to ask, what do you mean? The halacha that we're drawing upon from the previous staff that came to the top of this amud that was talking about a case of nishba, the person swore an oath. So why is Rabbi Yechon to say the person is going to be exempt because of lav shein b'maisa if he's saying that his whole halach is based on this teaching of Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says an exception to that exemption of lav shein b'maisa is nishba. If someone takes an oath, then you are chayiv even though it's a lav shein b'maisa. So that says Rashi, so the Gemara there explicitly explains there in Temura that this that we say that if someone's nishba and somebody that says no maisa, he's still going to get lashes, that's only a shvua of the past. For example, if he says, he swears I ate, and it turns out he didn't eat. Or he swore I didn't eat, and it turns out he ate. But regarding something in the future, like the case that Rabbi Yechanan was discussing over there, I will eat, and he doesn't eat, then he's not going to get lashes. The Gemara explains the reason, Masech the Shavuos and Masech the Temura, that's learned out from Sukkim, but that's not difficult for Rabbi Yechanan's teaching from here. But one thing is, Rabbi Yechanan, you're right, although that a previous teaching of Rabbi Yehuda is telling us, Lav Shem Maisa is like in love, he says like this other teaching of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara asks, Kasha Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, we have, according to both Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish, we have a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda. The first teaching of Rabbi Yehuda says that Hasra Safik Ishma Hasra, Lav Shem Maisa is like in love. Yet, according to Rabbi Yechon and Shlakish, we said that now either one of those points is difficult in them, so they both found a different Rabbi Yehuda who disagrees with that. But that's a contradiction to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Eler B'Shem B'Lakish, if according to B'Shem B'Lakish, which the difficulty was regarding what does Rabbi Yehuda hold in Asra HaSafik, so we'll say, Trei Tanoi Lib Rabbi Yehuda. That, yeah, you have to say it's two different Tanoim in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and they disagree. And Rish Lakish is like that one who says that Asra HaSafik is Loishim Asra. And Ilar Biyechen, if according to Rabbi Yechon, who the difficulty was regarding the loch of Lav Shem B'maisa, that the first Bryce is saying that it's Loikin, and Rabbi Yechon is like the second one who says that Ain Loikin, Loikash, that's not a difficulty. Ha, the day. Rabbi Yehuda himself holds the Lav Shem B'maisa, as we said in the first Bryce, is Loikin Lo. Ha, the Bryce that we quoted later, that Rabbi Yechon is like this, says you don't get Malkus, it's the Rabbi, as the Bryce actually quotes, it's Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Yisrael Kalili, but Rabbi Yehuda himself holds like the first Bryce that you are Loikin Lo. Now the Gemara continues this previous discussion from the previous daf regarding this halacha that introduced this whole discussion, which Rabbi Yechon is teaching lav shekodem by laasei, which is regarding this. If the halacha we have been mentioning is a lav shenitig laasei, if someone violates a negative prohibition, as the topic of apera, gets lashes. But if you could rectify it by doing a positive commandment, then that will ameliorate it and you won't get lashes. Yechon had said, but if the assay could be done before the laasei, say that that's not considered a lav shenitig laasei, and then you get lashes. So regarding to that halacha, the Gemara introduces Tnan Hasam. Learned over there in the Mishnah Masechta Skulin, Hanoitel Eim Alabanim. If someone, in violation of Torah law, which he's supposed to send away the mother bird and then take the chicks, take the eggs, if he takes the mother while it's on the children, Rabbi Yehuda Loikav Ein Meshaleich. He says, so the one who did this, gets lashes for violating that law, and there's no more positive commandment of now sending away the mother to take the babies. Now the reason for this is because he holds when it says in the Torah Shaleich Teshalach Hazeim, send away the mother, that's talking about initially. Meaning it says in the Torah Lo Yitzikach Ha'im, don't take the mother, rather send away the mother before you take it. So although it says Shaleich after Lo Yitzikach, it's not coming to say that, oh, because if you do take, then you should, then if you, in other words, if you violated by taking, then send it away to make it a lava nitik lasei. No, the negative prohibition is actually has the positive commandment coming before it, although it mentioned it later, but it's saying send away the mother. And don't take it when the mother's on there. If you do, then you violate it, but it's not a lava nitik lasei. The sages say no, mishaleach ve'ein aloika. Send away the mother, and then, although you took the mother when it was on the children, send her away now, and you won't get lashes. Because they hold, when it says shaleach, send away, it's as the way the pasuk is written, it's after leitikach. It's saying, don't take the mother. So it's saying, but if you did, then send her away now, which is being menatik et lasei, and therefore, if you took it, now send away the mother right now. And continue the chacham, zehakla, this is the rule. Kol mitzvah leisa says sheish b'kum asay. Anytime you have a negative prohibition, which then the Torah says, get up and do something to rectify the bad that you've done, ein chayiv aleha, then you're not liable, you don't get lashes, rather fulfill the positive commandment, and that will exempt you from the prohibition, from the violation that you did, which they hold the same in this case, where although you violated by taking the mother when it's on the children, send her away, and that will fulfill the positive commandment, that will be menatik et lasay. On this teaching of the Chacham Amr Rabbi Yechon says, ein lonu elazois v'ayracheres. We only have this case that was discussed and another case. In other words, regarding this case, we said, send away the mother and you won't get lashes. But if you don't send her away, then you'll get lashes. Now, as we taught in the previous daf, Biechanan holds the halacha of lava nitik lasei is contingent on what's called bitli v'loi bitli. Means to say that he understands what the Chacham say, send away the mother, send her away the mother whenever you want to, and then you won't get lashes. Now, when would a person get lashes? Not if he doesn't fulfill it, because as long as you didn't void the ability, you still have the opportunity to call it a nava nitik lasei, and you don't get lashes for the violation. It's only when you would kill the mother, now you can't fulfill the lasei anymore, that's called bitl yumavat lasei, that's what would be considered a person getting lashes. And that is what the Chacham said, and that is what the Chacham said, zehaklal. On that, Rabbi Yechon says that, oh, ono ein lono. In other words, although the words in the Brice are zehaklal, the Chacham is saying, this is the rule, which sounds like any mitzvah loisa say that has a kumase are going to be the same as this case of the halach of shiluach hakein. That says Rabbi Yechon, however, we don't really have anyone that's the same as this, that the exemption of malchus should be contingent on the fulfillment of the asay. Rather, says Rabbi Yechon, generally, whether you fulfill it or you don't fulfill it, you're going to be exempt. It's only this case and another one where you'll find this concept that the lashes will be contingent on voiding the assay. Because in contrast to all the other cases, you don't have the reality of bitli. The only times you have it are these two, which one is shluch akin, and the other one, as the Gemara is going to explain, we'll find out what that is. Where Amalei Rabbi Elazar said to Rabbi Yechonon, Hecha, where's the other one? Amalei Lechi Tishkech said, go out and find it. So Nafek Duk V'ashkech, the Tanya say, went out and he found the halacha and the braisa, which we had discussed in the previous daf. The Braisa says, Oyne Shigirish. A man who violated a woman, he raped a Naira Besula. The halacha is, the Torah says he has to marry her, he has to stay married to her. And the Torah says a violation for him to divorce her. So, Oyne Shigirish, a man who was honest, this woman, and he was married to her, and then they divorced her. So says the Braisa, Im Yisraelu, if he's a non-kohen who's allowed to remarry, who's allowed to marry a grusha, so machzav ein aloika, so he takes her back, and he doesn't get lashes. Now, also over here, we see that the exemption of the malchus is in fulfilling the positive commandment, which is that if a person would not return her, as we'll see later, what exactly is the reality according to Rabbi Yochanan of bitla v'le bitla, how do you make it that it's impossible to do it? But one thing is that if he returns her, then it doesn't get lashes. If he doesn't, then he'll get lashes. Vim kayinu, but says the Braisa, if he's a kayin, where the reality is he cannot take her back because she's a grusha already, like if then yeah, he'll get lashes and he doesn't take her back. So that says the Gemara is the other case where we find that it's a klal, that if you have a leisa say that has a kumase, that if you fulfill the positive commandment, you're exempt. If you don't, then you're going to be liable. Now the Gemara asks, Hani chalaman de toni kaimav le kaim, as we discussed this in the previous daf, there's a machloek is how to explain the words in the Braisa to amend it. It had to be amended either way. What is the halacha of lava nitik la say? Is it that regarding that the obligation is right away, and but one could exempt himself right away by doing the positive commandment, or the obligation of the lashes only is never there, because you can be menatik la'aseh, it's only when you void the aseh. So says the Gemara, according to the one that says that if you mekayim it, yes, if you're not mekayim it, right away there's lashes. So we would understand that if you don't fulfill it, you get lashes, and you get lashes if you don't fulfill it. So that would make sense. That would be this case of the man who divorced this one that he was ma'anis. If remarry her right now, you don't, you get lashes. Elamanda tani bitla b'le bitla, but according to Rabbi Yechanan, who we said in the previous daf, he learns in the words in the Braisa that it's only when you void the ability of ever doing the assay, only then you get lashes. So how do we understand this case of the Braisa, that this man, if he wouldn't remarry the one that he was ma'anis, he would get lashes? How would you have it? As the Gemara goes through, the Rabbi Yechanan said there's two cases that we have this klal of if you fulfill the assay, then you're not going to be liable. So we understand that you could have this halach of bitloy, the way Rabbi Yechanan had said in the previous daf, in the case of sending away the mother from the nest, is if one slaughters it. So if you slaughter the mother, so the mother's out of the picture, and now you can't fulfill that say anymore, so we understand then you would get lashes. Elo einis, but regarding the one who raped this woman, bitloy b'le bitloy hechem mishkachas, how do you ever have that there's not even the ability that you made it impossible fulfilling that say of loy si liisha kol yom of taking her back? How is that possible? As the Gemara explains, either katla, if he killed her, so now there's no more ability of remarrying her, and therefore he should get lashes for violating the prohibition of liyuch l'shalach of sending her away. Kam lebidramine. We know there's halacha that you get the stronger of the two death penalties, which he's going to get the death penalty, is not going to get lashes. So Amar Shimon Mechazino, he says, the case would be Togum HaKagayin Shekibola Kedushin Mi'achar. This Ma'anis, he divorced his wife, then he went and received Kedushin for her from a different man. Now, although a man is allowed to marry a woman, his wife that he divorced, but if she married another man in the interim, he's not allowed to remarry her. Oh, now it's not possible. Now he's Mevatel Da'aseh, and therefore then he's going to get lashes for having divorced her. On that has the Gemara, Amar Rav, I don't understand. Isha v'sei shliach, if his divorcee, the one that he raped, made him the agent to receive kedushin for her from another man, so iyga mavatle, she's being mavatle, not him. It's not something he should get lashes for. And iloisha v'sei shliach, and if she did not make him the agent to receive kedushin for her from another man, kol kimine, what is he? Does he have the ability to be mekadesh her through his own kabbalah? But like klomi, that's nothing. What do you mean? He's not in charge of her. He's not her father when she's a minor. So Elam Rav Shimon Manar Da, he says, Kikin Shadir Barabim. The case we'd be talking about that is Mavatla say that he cannot remarry her is when they took a public vow forbidding all benefit from her, which one cannot be in a relationship like that. Therefore, that makes it impossible for him to remarry her, and then is Mavatla say, then he gets lashes. On that as the Gemara Hani Chamandam, that works well according to the one who this Machlik is Mesech is Gitin Daflam Heman Beis, the Nedir Shuhud Barabim Ain Layafar, that a vow that's taken in public, there's no nullification of that. So there's no undoing that. According to the one who says you could nullify such a vow, so it's not mevatel da'aseh because he could go to a chacham, be made for the neder, and then he could go ahead and remarry her. So he shouldn't get lashes in that case. Says the Gemara, "Demedirla al dasra." We're talking about where he took a vow, not in public, but based on the acknowledgement of the public. That said, Hilchas Halacha is Neder Shehud Barabim Yesh Lafar. He says, yeah, a vow taken in public could be nullified. Al Dras Rabim, but if someone takes a vow upon the consciousness of the public, meaning like a husband that finds a sin in regards to the woman that he's married to who's forbidden to him, and therefore he takes a Neder Al Das Rabim and Al Das Bezdin, then Ein Lafar, then there's no nullification for that. That would make it impossible. That would be the same as Shluach HaKein, as slaughtering the mother. Here, that would be the same thing of not being able to fulfill the Asay. That's Bit Lasay. That's these two cases that, oh, you're Mavat Lasay, then you get lashes. In contrast to every other law of Nitik Lasay, even if you don't fulfill the Mitzvah Asay, you're never going to get lashes for that negative prohibition. That asks the Gemara. Vesuleka, are there no other negative prohibitions that has a Kum Asay that you could get lashes for the Lais Asay? But Ve'ika there is, which is Simon and Amonic for them, the case that we're going to ask from our Gezel, theft, Mashkin, collateral, Lepeya, and Peya. As the Gemara says, Gezel, regarding the case of robbery, Drachman Amma, the Torah says, Lois Sigzel, don't steal, which is the Lois Asay. Then it has a Kum Asay, Ve'heshav as Exela, return what was stolen. So to Mashkin, regarding collateral. Drachman Amma, the Torah says, Lois Sovel, Beis Elavad, Abaita, don't go to his house to take collateral. You're not allowed to do that. And it says, if you do, Hashiv Tashiv Lo Yesa Avid Kavay Hashem, you have to return the collateral from when the sun comes. Where Umeshkachas Law, and you could have this case, but kind of Lekaimai, both according to Rish Lakish, where if one fulfills it or doesn't fulfill it, if it's going to get lashes or not. And we also have it according to Rabbi Yechon Ubitloi Beloi Bitloi, regarding if he's Mavatlet or is not Mavatlet. For example, in the case of Mashkin, you have it that you can Mavatlet if he burns the collateral, where then he cannot fulfill that say, then he'll get lashes. So why isn't that another case of? Why is it only two cases when you say that a person can get lashes, lava niti lasay? Because although you seemingly could always be mekayim lasay, you can't. If you burn the collateral, you can't fulfill the mitzvah of returning it. So then you should get lashes for violating that negative prohibition. So the Gemara and the Hasam over there, in those two cases of Gezel and Mashkin, if you go ahead and you burn it, so that therefore there's no more ability of returning the gzela or returning the mashkin, even the chayv b'tashluma, once he's liable for monetary payment, there's a monetary obligation, ain loike misham. You can't get lashes then for violating the negative prohibition of leisigzel or leisavi al beisai, because we know you don't get both lashes and payment, and since you have to pay, so there's not going to be lashes, so therefore that cannot be a case of getting lashes for a leisasei that's netig lasei, even though you're mevatel dasei. But still, Maskev Reb Zeir, he asks, you have the case of collateral of a convert who, the guy who took had the collateral, burnt it when the ger was still alive. And then then the ger dies, where there's no yarshin, so there's no one to pay it back to because he's dead, and he has no one to inherit him. So there's no monetary obligation, and so then regarding that violation of the prohibition of leisav el beis lavad avaitai, for that lois, I say, where it's no more nitik la'asei because you burnt it now, for that case you should get lashes. So that should be another case. So as the Gemara, as we continue in beis, no. Hasam gavar bar tashlumen hu. There, that guy, when he burnt the collateral of the ger, and the ger was still alive, there was a monetary obligation, and therefore at that moment he wasn't liable for lashes when he was mevatel that, because then there was Leikum Mishalim. Now this that he later on doesn't pay, that's for a different reason. That's Bishibudi the Ger, who the Kapaka. That's because the indebtedness to the Ger, that's just removed at a later point in time because he's dead and there's no one to pay it to. But when he violated, there was an obligation of Teshlumen, and therefore there was never an obligation of Leike, and therefore even though later when there's no Teshlumen, there's no Malchus for that either. But the Gemara asked the third case. But there's the case of pay, which is one of the obligations to the poor, that someone has to leave the corner, which is pay of his field, for the poor. Drachman Am, the Torah says, you're not allowed to clean off and take off the corner of the field. You have to leave it for the poor and for the convert. You have to leave it for them to take. Now, moreover, the Gemara assumes that when it says, Tazav, you have to leave for them, it's after the violation of the negative prohibition, which it says, lois l'chala, don't clean out the corner. And it's saying, but if you do clean off the corner, and if you reap it all, then you should leave it for them. Where that halacha, demishkachas l'bekaimu v'loikaimu, and bitlu v'bitlu, we could have that halacha of lava nitig l'asei, that you could not do the asei, or like the way Rabbi Yochanan said it, even void the ability of doing the asei. For example, let's say when he grinds the wheat, which you cannot fulfill anymore the asay of the mitzvah of peya, because the moment he grinds it, he was kaina it with a shinu, the zalocha, that when someone steals something, which in this case he's stealing from the poor the peya, and he then does a shinu, he changes it, he requires it, what's called kinyan gezela. As it teaches in the Brice, as long as it's a kernel of wheat, then he's obligated to give it to the poor. But if he grinded it, then not. Tetnan, like we learned, which actually a Brice, the mitzvah's peyah, lahafresh min hakama, the original mitzvah of the peyah is, as we said, to separate it for the poor when it's still the standing grain, leave the corn of the field over them. Now, loy hefresh min hakama, if he did not separate from the standing grain, and he already reaped it, so mahafresh min hakama, he has to separate the peyah from the bundles. Loy hefresh min hakama, if he didn't separate it for the poor when it's still in bundles, then mafresh min akri, then even though now it's in one big pile, all the kernels of wheat, he should separate peyah for them from the pile. Achle mirch, until he didn't smooth the pile, which is considered the ending of the processing of the grain. Now, mirchi, if let's say he already smoothed out the pile of the grain, and at that point the produce already becomes obligated and meiser, so then ma'aser, so then what he has to do is he has to first take off a tithe from the pile, because it already has a meiser obligation, and then v'naisenlei, then he gives the payah to the poor. The reason why he does like that is so that it shouldn't cause a loss to the pauper, because leket shichah and payah are exempt from meiser, and this guy, by not leaving payah for them right away, made it obligated in meiser, so he has to first take the loss, he has to separate meiser, and then give them their payah so that they don't have to take off meiser from their payah. But one thing is that we see is that once you grind it, the obligation of pay is only up until you have it in the kernel of wheat, even when you smooth out the pile. But once you grind it and you turn it into, you pulverize it and you turn it into flour, then there's no mechiva pay anymore. So you see that you have the lav of leisachal pa'as, which is nitik lase of tzpi oizavid, because you can leave it even at later stages. But there's a point when you mevat lase. It's at that point that should be another case of you should be liable for the lashes for leisachal. Why should Yechon say there's only two cases of the case of ma'anis, and also for the case of Shluach HaKein? Says the Gemara, could Rabbi Shmuel? Because Rabbi Yechon holds like Rabbi Shmuel. Number that he says, af mafresh min ha'isa. It's not true. You could even separate peyah, even after flour, even when it's already in a dough. But still the Gemara asks, Rabbi Shmuel, nami mishkachas la. But even Rabbi Shmuel could have the question that we're asking, that you could have the violation, to get lashes for the violation of a sechala, the achal isa, when the guy eats the dough. You can't fulfill the mitzvah pay anymore if you already ate it all up. So why isn't that a viable case of being liable for lashes? Because you have a vatal dasay. Rather says the Gemara, you're right. Zois v'oid acheres, aha. When Rabbi Yechon said that there's the case of Shluach HaKein and another case, it's actually going on this case of Peah. Yeah, that's the other case that you could have a bitl dasay, that you'll be liable for lashes. Aval oynis loy. But the price we brought before of oynis is not a good case. Why? Because the heicha mina das rab mein lafar, when did we say, which we thought was going to be the explanation of that halacha, why it is going to be that you could have a bit lase to be liable for lashes? We thought it's like, oh, when you take a vow with the agreement and the acknowledgement of the rabbin, then there's no hafara, then you mevat lase. Says the Gemara, no, that was only dvar shus. That's if you're doing something which is a voluntary thing. Voluntary thing, you do a das rabbin, you can't be made for it. Of a dvar mitzvah, but for a mitzvah purpose, for example, over here, which the person, the ba'anis, has the obligation, as we said in the previous daf, kol yomav ba'amid v'hachzer, kol, he has obligation his whole life of taking back this woman that he raped. There, since it's a mitzvah, yesh le'afara, there is a nullification of that vow. Never, there's no way of being about lase. Because you took a neder, you can be made for it. You killed her, you're not going to be liable for lashes anyway. It's mesa mishalom. So therefore, that's not going to be a viable option to be a case of ever being liable for lashes, of not taking back the woman that is ma'anis, that he divorced. And the other case is rather the Shluach HaKein and Peah. As the Gemara says, Ki hodahu makri dardiki, there was a certain school teacher that have a pasha biyanuka that was doing harm to the children because it was hitting them too much. So Adri Rav Acha went and made a neder that al das rabim, that this guy will never teach in schools ever again. Bahad Ravina brought him back as a teacher. The Daikava said there wasn't any Rebbe that was able to be as precise as this person, and therefore they brought him back. So you see, although it was Aldas Rabim, but since it was Ladvar Mitzvah, that could have Hafara, and therefore that's the other one was not Ma'anis, but rather the case of Peah. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah. We said, Elohin Alekin, these are those who get lashes. And some of them are Va'echel Nevelis, if someone eats an animal that wasn't slaughtered properly, which has just died, betrayfus, or has a mortal defect, or Shkotzim or Masim, or it's these vermin. If anyone eats these things, he gets negative prohibitions. So regarding this last category, these forbidden food items, Amar Behuda, he says, Haiman da Ochel Benisid de Bekarba. If someone eats a worm that's found in cabbage, Makinalei, he gets lashes, as we said in the Mishnah, Shkotzim or Masim, In this case, Mishum, because of the Pasuk in Mayuka that says, Sheretz HaSheretz Ala Aretz. It's one of the Shrotzim that crawls on the ground. That's, as we'll see, there's different types of Shrotzim, different types of bugs. This would get lashes because of that negative prohibition. As the Gemara brings, Ahud Ochel Binis Debekar, there was a certain person that ate this cabbage worm. But now, the Rebbe Yehuda gave him lashes as the Halach of HaMishnah, Be'elan HaLaikin. And as we said, it's because of Sheretz HaSheretz Ala Aretz. Amabai, he says, Ochel Putisa. If someone swallows a aquatic sheretz, a bug from that's a water bug, like Arba, it gets four lashes. What are the four lashes for? There's two negative prohibitions that are written regarding a sheretz hamayim. One is written in Vayikra, and one is in Devarim. Then there's also two negative prohibitions that are written regarding any sheretz, a general sheretz, where it says, and it says, which sounds like any type of sheretz, whether sheretz amayim or sheretz aretz. So therefore, there's four isurim regarding such a bug, and the person would get four lashes. Namala, if someone swallows a live ant, since it's a complete creature, so that would be a violation for any amount that he eats it. If he eats an ant, like a chamish, he gets five lashes. Two, because as we said, for any sheretz, there's always two. And then three, which are written mishum sheretz hasheretz ala aretz, because of the type of bugs that crawl on the ground, which is what an ant is, for a total of five. Tzira, which is a hornet, like a sheish, the person who eats it gets six lashes. Five because it's a sheretz aretz, which we said a sheretz aretz has five. And another one, mishum sheretz ha'if, because it's a sheretz, which is written in Mishneh Torah in Devarim, it says, v'chol sheretz ha'if tamei lechem lo yoichlu, so that adds on a sixth one. However, Rashi says, although it says Lei Sheshaktus Nafshesechem Bebehem Ba'if in Parshas Kedashim, that wouldn't make it into a seventh one, because that's not told one by a sheretz. Although it says Asher Tirmas Adoma, that's a term of large creatures, how they walk. Term of sheretz is when it's small, that you could tell how it's difficult every single walking that it is, that like a creepy, cruelly things, that's like moving, that's referring to a sheretz, and therefore the most that you're going to have is six, like that of a hornet, something which is walks in the ground and also flies in the air. Continuing on this theme about sheketz, about doing things that are an abomination, Amar Rav Achoy says, Hamasha es nakavah, if someone delays his orifices, meaning from relieving himself or going to the bathroom, even Mishumi violates the pasuk of Vayikra of Leisa Shaktu, do not be abominable, which is by holding in this waste matter, it's creating sheketz. Amar Bibi Bar Abaya, he says also, Hayman deshasi bekarna du'umne, if someone drinks a liquid from the tool, which was this horn that was used to draw blood by the blood letter, he's violating the system, it's disgusting. You're using that thing that he draws, used to draw blood, you're drinking orange juice in that. That's disgusting. That's over Balteshaktu. Continue what we were talking about before. Amar Rava Bar Rav Huna, he says, Resek tishan amalm, if someone crushes nine ants, so therefore it's not a berry anymore, it's not a creature because he's just smashing them into one mass. V'hevi echad chai, and then he brings another one, a tenth one that's alive. V'hishlimi l'kazayis, now the sum total of all these ants together, nine crushed ones and one whole one, makes it into the measurement of the size of an olive. Loikava, the one who eats that mass will be liable for six lashes. Hamishum beria, five because the one that's a creature, as we said before, an ant is five negative prohibitions. The echad, and then the sixth one will be mishum kazayis nevela, because when he swallows that ant, it also dies, which combines to the other nine ones which are already dead and they're not a beria, but it's one big mass of nevela, of non-kosher food item, and it's the size of a kazayis, that makes it into a sixth violation which he'll get lashes for. Now Rava Amar Biechanan, he says, Afila Shnaim, even if you have only two crushed ants, Vahu and this one live one, if they're very big, which amongst the three of them it's going to be the size of an olive, as the Gemara is going to explain that these teachings are not contradictory, that he'll also get six lashes. Rabbi Yisrael Amahis says, Avila Echad Vahu, even if there's only one crushed one and one live one, if it's the size of a kezias, he'll get lashes. Which the Gemara says, Vlei Pligi, and it's not a machlekis, and Tosafot explain what would be the necessity of explaining this obvious. When they're very big, then even having one or two will combine with the live one to make a kezias. The one that said that you have nine crushed ones and one live one is told one that they were small, and therefore the sheer kezias would only be by having that amount, but they're all saying the same halacha. The Gemara continues to explain the halacha of a Mishnah, that the Mishnah said that the other ones that get lashes is achel tevel. If someone eats untithed produce, he gets lashes, or maisa rishon v'chulu, or the first tithe that goes to the levy, that if trumas maisa wasn't separated from it, that's also considered tevel, the person who eats it is going to get lashes. Now, Amar Rav, Rav says the relita halacha. He says, "Ochel tevel shamaiser ani." We said that if someone eats tevel untyped produce, he gets lashes. Rav explains that the halacha of tevel is more expansive than one might think. If someone eats from untyped produce that just didn't have maiser ani separated from it, meaning all the other maisers, truma gedayla, truma smai, everything was separated from this produce, besides for the poor man's tithe, which is in the year 3 and 6 of a Shemitah cycle, like the person who eats that produce is going to get lashes. So although Maiser Ani doesn't have any sanctity, because regular people, non-Kohen, could eat it, and you could eat it wherever you want to, even so, by not separating that Maiser Ani, that makes this produce still tevel, and one would get lashes for eating that in that way. Says the Gemara Kaman, who's Rav Halacha like? Ki hai tana, like the following tana, the tana, you're like, learn the Braisa. Rabbi Yosi says, Yochel lo yehi chayiv, you would think that there would only be a liability of tevel, ela ala tevel shlehur mimene kol ikar, regarding untithed produce, that nothing was separated from, none of the obligatory tithes was separated from it. Hur mimene truma gedayla, but let's say someone already took off the great truma, which is that 1/50 approximately that's given to the kohen. And let's say the first tithe, which is then given to the Levi, wasn't separated. Or Maiserishin, let's say someone took off the first tithe. Besides Truma, he used to take off the first tithe, he just didn't take off the second tithe, which a person has to take up and eat in Yerushalayim. And let's say he took off all that, but he didn't take off the poor man's tithe, which takes the place of Maiserishin in year 3 and 6. Meaning, where do we know that all of them are Ma'akiv, that without taking it off would be considered Telva to be Chayiv? Tamalem, that's what Rabbi Yosi says, we learn in the Pasuk in Devarim. It says, Leisucha lecho b'sharecha v'goymer. The Pasuk is, it says that you're not allowed to eat these things in your gates. And it says, Maisa d'gancha t'reshcha v'tzarecha b'chariz, talks about certain holy things that you can't eat these things in your cities. These are things that have to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Now, one of the things that it starts off by saying over there, Leisucha lecho b'sharecha, you can't eat these things in your gates, it says over there, Maiser. Now, Olahal Noemer, later on the Varm, it says, Va'ochul b'sharecha b'saveyu, that they should eat this in your gates, and they'll be satiated. Now, Ma'alahal and Maiser Ani, just to go over there that it says b'sharecha, it's referring to the poor man's tithe, because it says over there that you should give it to the ger, to the yasam, the almana, and there it's in the context of being in the third year. So, there it says b'sharecha, and it's referring to Maiser Ani. So, Afkan, so it's over here, when it says b'sharecha, you could learn out that it's talk Maiser Ani, it's talking about Maiser Ani. And what does our pasuk say over here? It says loisucha, that you cannot, that what can't you eat? You cannot eat the tevel when it says loisucha lecha b'sharecha meiser degantcha. What does that mean? You cannot eat this produce, which is tevel, as long as the meiser that's inside of it, which meiser? The meiser which it says b'sharecha regarding it, which is what, as we see from a pasuk later in the Varm, refers to meiser ani. As long as Maiser Ani is still in this produce, you can't eat it b'sharecha because it's still going to be considered tevel even if there's just Maiser Ani over there. And that's the teaching that Rav's going like. Now, Amar Rav Yosef, he wants to say ketanoi, that actually this halacha, which we have Rav like Rabbi Yosef, is actually machlokes tanoim as we learn in the Mishnah Masechtas Demai. The Gemara tells us in Seitad of Memchesim and Aleph that Yechon and Kongodl sent out, scouting out the entire boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, and they saw that the Maratzim, the ignoramuses, the masses of the people, were suspect regarding the halachas of Maisers, except for Truma Gedayla, the great Truma that they were fulfilling, that they were giving to the Kohen. So he said to the Jewish people, my sons, you should know that just like for Truma, if one eats it, there's death, so too untithed produce, if you don't take up all the Maisers, is also a death penalty. So what he did is, since he saw that the Amaratzim were not being careful, he was masakin that anyone who buys from Ama Aretz has to separate all the maisers, but he could keep it for himself. Maiserishin he could eat, because that's permitted even for non-Kohanim. It's not only a Levi that's allowed to eat it, and a Levi could eat it wherever he wants to. Now Maiser Sheni, he has to separate too, because maybe the Ama Aretz didn't separate it, and he has to eat it in Yerushalayim. If it's Maiser Sheni, he has to eat it in Yerushalayim. Now, if it's a year of 3 and 6, which is a Maiser of Ani, so there we have a machlekes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. The Mishnah Demai says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, he says that not only that you don't have to separate the Maiser Ani out of doubt, but even in Tzarech Likris Esa Shem al Maiser Ani Shal Demai, you don't even have to designate to say, oh, the Maiser Ani of this pile of produce should be in the northern part or the southern part. Even that is not required. Rabbi Elazar says that no, the Meiser Ani has no significance. You don't have to give it to the Ani anyway. We said Meiser Rishon, you don't have to give it to the Levi. You don't have to give it anyway. So what's the point of separating it? There's no obligation whatsoever. So you don't have to separate. You don't have to designate even the name that it's called Meiser Ani. The sages say, however, as we continue to have a Aleph, no, Kairias Hashem, you have to designate a name and say that this is Meiser Ani, a part of it. But Ve'en Atzorach Lahafir, you don't have to separate it. Because once you are Kairi Shem, that part of it is Meiser Ani, so then the pile is removed from the Halach of Tevel, because the Am Arutz already took up Truma Gedela. The person who bought from already took up Meiser Rishon. Now there's Meiser Ani, so I don't have to separate it, but you have to at least call it Meiser Ani, so that at least it's considered separated, although it's still in there, but okay, it's not Tevel anymore. Because in contrast to the other Meisers, the one who bought it has to separate it either way, is because he has to separate the Meiser Rishon, because although he could eat it himself, but from that Meiser Rishon he has to separate a Trumas Meiser, which is from that Meiser he has to take up Truma, a tenth from that, give it to the Kohen, which is death if he would eat it, if it is actually Trumas Meiser, which is death for a Zar to eat it. And he also has to separate Meiser Sheni, because he has to bring up to Yerushalayim to eat over there. But regarding the Meiser Ani, he doesn't have to remove it physically, but he has to be Kares Hashem. That's Machlokes Reb Eliezer and Rabban. Says Rabbi Yosef, my lab balkim mifugi, isn't this what the teaching of Rav and Rabbi Yosef, what they're disagreeing about? Demar, the Rabban and Sabra, they hold vadai toivloi, like Rabbi Yosef and Rav, that Meiser Ani, if it's definitely in there, it's going to make it untithed produce. So therefore, since there's a doubt, we said we don't know if the Am Arutz removed it or not, so you would have to remove the Meiser Ani out of doubt to make it no more tevel. So you don't have to actually remove it physically, but you have to at least be Kairos Hashem. Whereas a Marsav of Aldei and a Tavle, but Rebbe Elazar said, no. What is Meiser Ani? There's no sanctity, there's nothing. It's just monetary obligation to an Ani. So, but it doesn't make it into Tavel. And therefore we see that Rebbe Elazar disagrees with that halacha, and he says it doesn't make it Tavel. So, since you don't have to give it to the Ani anyway in this case, so you don't have to even be Kares Hashem. Which Amalei Abaya said to Rabbi Yosef, Ihachi, but if that would be the case, that you're explaining the Machlokes along those lines, then the Miflugu Bisveka, then instead of them disagreeing regarding a case of doubt, which is when you buy from Am Oretz of Demai, Liflugu Bavate, then let them disagree regarding definite. Let them talk about a case when you have a case of Tevel, and Truma was taken off, Meiser Rishon was taken off, and Meiser Ani was not taken off. They should have a Machlokes. Rabbi Eliezer should hold that you don't have to separate it. You don't have to do anything because it doesn't have any sanctity. You gotta give it to the poor person. You don't have to be Kares Hashem. You could eat from it even before you do anything. Whereas a Chacham would hold that you would have to, if that's the machlokes regarding if it makes a tevel or not. Ella rather disagrees Abai and he says the kule alma vadi tevel. Now everyone agrees to Rabbi Yosi and Rav that not taking off Meiser Ani for sure makes it into untithed produce, which would have a punishment of Malkus. V'hacha b'hab miflagi, so v'hacha miflagi, what are they disagreeing about? Is Marsav Rebbe Eliezahel loynech shidu ame aritz al Meiser Ani shal d'mai. This whole halacha was only based on we're concerned that the Amoritz did not take it off. And that Rebbe Eliezer holds that the ignoramuses are not suspect regarding the poor man's tithe in regards to this halacha of d'mai. Why? Since there's only a monetary obligation over here, there's no prohibitory aspect regarding Meiser Ani of not eating it. The only halacha is regarding stealing from the poor. Now, the Am Aretz is not concerned about monetary obligations. Chayshem Mishpah is not concerned. He's not concerned about stealing from the poor. So Afrushi Mafresh. So of course he would separate it before this guy bought it from Am Aretz. He would separate it not to make it into untithed produce. Now because, although regarding Meiser Rishon, he's not going to separate it. It's because he thinks, and which is an error, that if I'm going to separate it, then I'm going to have to separate it from that Trumas Meiser, which that's already Issa already. He's concerned about Issur and prohibitory law, which is death if I don't give it to the Kain and I'm going to eat it myself. So to Meiser Shein, he says, wait, I'm not going to separate that because then I'm going to have to take it up and eat it in Yerushalayim, which are in Yoni Issur. But in Yoni Mamanis, he's not concerned about. So Meiser Ani is only monetary? Oh, that he would separate it. He just doesn't give it to the Ani. So that we don't have to be suspect. Therefore, such a Rebbe Eliezer, no, you don't have to be encouraged as Hashem because we assume that the Ani did it. Rabban and Sarvi, the Rabban, however, disagree to the principle. They hold that Kivin, the Trichalei Milsa, since it's an effort that's difficult for the Am Aretz, Lay Mafresh doesn't separate. Ech, what are you talking about? Truma Gedayah, the Kohen, he deserves it. Everyone else, eh. So it's based on effort. So even if it's only a monetary halacha, still the Rabban hold that we suspect the Am Aretz of not separating Meiser Ani. And therefore, it's something that it's definite. If it's definite, would make it tevel. Which again, Rabbi is saying everyone agrees to that principle of Rabbi Yisi and Rav. It's just that he holds that we suspect. So if you suspect, so mitzad hasafik, you have to remove it from safek tevel. So you don't have to take it out, but you have to at least be kairias Hashem.